Lord, I pray it will not fall to the ground, oh God. Every promise that is spoken concerning your people, oh God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we shall see the manifestation of it in the name of Jesus. As I speak forth, let it not be my words, oh God, but your words. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, turn my mouth into your oracle, oh God. That it will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the book of Psalm 75. Hallelujah. Psalm 75, verse 6. Are you there? Psalm 75, verse 6. We've been looking at divine promotion, which is our theme for the month. And in the book of Psalm 75, verse 6, the Bible says, for exaltation comes neither from the west. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. The KJV puts it this way. It says, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west. It says promotion. We'll be reading three scriptures today. The second scripture, thank you, is taken from Ezekiel 21. The book of Ezekiel 21. Ezekiel 21. Are you there? Verse 26. Ezekiel 21, 26. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 21, 26, thus says the Lord God. It says, remove the turban and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble. I pray God will exalt you. Amen. As you humble yourself, he will exalt you in the name of Jesus. And then it says, and humble the exalted. Overthrown, overthrown. Another version says, overturn, overturn. I will make it overthrown. It shall be no longer until he comes, whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Until you come, it is your right, and it will be handed over to you in the name of Jesus. I declare that everything that is rightfully yours, every position, every throne, every seat, every place that is rightfully yours, in the name of Jesus, I declare over your life that it is going to be handed back to you in Jesus' name. Our third scripture reading is in Esther, the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 17. The Bible says, the king loved Esther more than all the other women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. Notice that. Made her queen instead of Vashti. Somebody was occupying, warming up the seat for her. There's about to be an instead in your life in Jesus' name. Oh, that will be your story. That you will be made instead of... Oh my goodness, I'm not sure your amen does not sound like an amen that understands what I'm saying. I declare over your life that before the end of this year, in the name of Jesus, that your story will be like that of Queen Esther, whereby you will become made the queen, the king, instead of Vashti, in the name of Jesus. You know, we've been talking about divine, our theme for the month is divine promotion. And I spent the last 2 weeks talking about, are you ready for promotion? And basically, I've been talking about the various tests that you would expect before God promotes you. And you know, after we've done all those tests, all things being equal, then we are due for promotion. If you do an exam, for example, for those that are university, or if you've gone through university or any kind of school before, when you finish an examination and you pass, what happens? You are due for promotion. The same way in the spiritual, when God has set the test before you and you pass then, oh my goodness, it means that you are due for promotion. Today, I've come to speak prophetically into your life. I've come to pray over your life. You see, today being Father's Day, there's something about Father's blessing. You know, the Bible talks about Jacob. It says that he said, he called my sons, he called his sons together in Genesis 49. And he said, I will tell you what will become of you. And he started speaking concerning each person. And as he spoke, you will find that as their life went on, that is what they became. Rather, today I have come as the spiritual father over this house. And I want to speak prophetically into your life. And I believe that even as I speak, that it will become so in your life in the name of Jesus. I pray that every word that I speak today, that it shall not fall to the ground. In the name of Jesus. Oh my goodness, the words that will come forth from my mouth today in the name of Jesus, it shall go forth and accomplish that for which it was meant to. In the name of Jesus. So the Bible talks about a certain lady called Esther. You know, as I've been saying, that our promotion is not in the hands of man. It is in the hand of God. When God decides to promote you, nobody can say otherwise. When God decides that your time has come, your time has come. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 102, verse 13, he says, have mercy. Oh my goodness. He says that have mercy on Zion, and that the time to favor her has come. I declare that the time for your favor, the time for your promotion, the time for your elevation, the time for your lifting up, your time has come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, when God decides to promote, nobody can say otherwise. To promote means to advance in rank. It means to advance in dignity or position. It means to advance in various areas that you have not attained before, in some levels that you had not entered into. And when you begin to get into a place of promotion, you can tell it. I pray in the name of Jesus that you advance in spiritual things, in Jesus' name. I see some people here advancing in their workplace. Well, you will come forth with a testimony before the end of this year. And you will talk about the advancement that has happened in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, the Bible talks about a certain lady called Esther. I'm trying to get into my message. But the Bible talks about a certain lady called Esther. And you know, if you know the story of Esther, Esther became a queen. If I use the word, against all odds. She became a queen unexpectedly, if I use that word. What do I mean by that? Esther became a queen in a foreign land. She became a queen in a land where she did not descend from. And you know, it's interesting because if you read the life of Esther, you find out that all the things that happened, that was spoken about in the book of Esther, were working for her and leading her to the place God had reserved for her. God had reserved a seat for her. God had placed a position here for her that, Esther, this is the seat which you will occupy. But while she was getting ready and she was being prepared, what happened? God just got a lady called Vashti to sit there and just warm the seat. But when the time came, my goodness, when the time came for Esther's elevation, the Bible says, Ashti, she was removed. And what happened? Esther was placed upon the seat. My goodness, I declare over your life that the seat that you are meant to be occupying, where somebody is sitting upon it now, that they are just warming it, that your time to be replaced, your time to replace them has come in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that that position, that seat that has been reserved for you, that it shall be like the story of Esther, whereby Vashti was removed and so Esther was placed upon it. You are about to be placed upon your throne in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. Hallelujah. I'm trying to. You know, as I was saying that everything was working in Esther's favor. Everything. You find out that the fact that there was a feast in the third year of King Ahasuerus' reign was working in her favor. The fact that King Ahasuerus decided that he was merry and wanted to show up Queen Vashti was working in her favor. The fact that Queen Vashti refused to come when she was called for Because if Vashti had gone, that throne or position would not have become vacant. It was working in her favor. The fact that she refused to come worked in Esther's favor. The fact that by the time she refused to come, King Ahasuerus was upset and he decided to remove her was working in her favor. I declare over your life that everything shall begin to work in your favor in Jesus' name. I speak to the four winds right now. The north, the east, the west, the south. I say they shall begin to blow the resources. They shall begin to cause the natural things to begin to work in your favor. I begin to speak into the supernatural realm right now, into the spiritual realm, that the angels, they shall begin to bring forth things to work in your favor. Oh my goodness. When there's a storm, it will work in your favor. When there's an earthquake, it will work in your favor. When there's a fire, it will work in your favor. When there's a flooding, it will work in your favor in the name of Jesus. Everything was working in the favor of Esther. Everything. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel 21, 27, that we read earlier, 21, 26 to 27, it says something. It says, overthrown, overthrown. It says, I will make it overthrown. God was saying, hey, I'm going to remove. You know, when he talks about overthrowing something, what does that mean? It means that there's a kingdom that was being turned away. My goodness. It then says that I will no longer, he says something. He says it shall be no longer until he comes, whose rightful place, whose right it is. And then he goes on to say something. He says, I will give it to him that it belongs to. Oh, Shandaraba, there shall be an overthrowing concerning your life. There shall be an overthrowing. You will occupy it. You are the rightful owner, and it will be given to you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are some people sitting in your position. And I prophesy today. I prophesy today that it is time for them to be overthrown. Because it is now the time for you to be favored in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that you are the rightful owner. Hey, you know, when they talk about illegal occupants, you've heard of squatters. What happens when people are squatting in a house that is not theirs? Then the rightful owner appears. What happens? Oh, they will take them to court. We are about to take your case to the court of the Most High today. We are about to take your case to the court of heavens today. And we say that judgment shall be in your favor in the name of Jesus. Every squatter that is in your position, every squatter that is sitting on your seat, every squatter that is sitting on your throne, every squatter that is sitting in your kingdom, every squatter that is sitting in your house, today we present the case before the God, the Most High, and we declare that there shall be an overthrowing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. It says there, overthrown, overthrown. You know, and what happens? When there's an overthrowing, the position becomes vacant. And the rightful owner takes the position. That's what happened to Esther. You know, if we were to look at things in the natural, you'll discover that Esther was not qualified to occupy that position. What do I mean by that? Esther was in a land, in the land of Persia, in the kingdom of Persia. She was not from Persia. Her ancestors or grandfathers or great-grandfathers or whatever the case may be, they had been taken captive from Jerusalem and taken to Persia. So in quotes, she was more like a slave or the descendant of a slave. Because when someone is taken captive, what happens? They become a slave in that land. Isn't that right? So she was more like a slave in that land. And you find out that if you were to think of it in the natural, a king marrying a slave doesn't happen. So she was not qualified. She was not qualified. Her parents were dead. She was an orphan. And she was brought up by her cousin, Mordecai. So even if her parents had been influential, all that would have been lost. And it's highly unlikely for a slave to be influential in a city that is not theirs. So she did not qualify. But get this. You find out that around that time, there probably would have been people that were more qualified than her to be queen. There probably would be people that were of Persian descent. Because the Bible says that the king sent that they should go and collect all the virgins, various virgins. And so there would have been people that have been taken, young ladies that have been taken that were virgins, that were of Persian descent, that probably would have been qualified to be the queen in the natural. So she was not, it wasn't based on her qualification. You see, it wasn't based on her background. In fact, her background would probably have disqualified her. So it wasn't based on that. But get this, you see, when God decides to promote you, your qualifications, your background, your past, your nationality, your color becomes irrelevant. In fact, the way you speak becomes irrelevant. You see, listen to me. It's interesting because if you look at the life of Esther, just before she was promoted, it was as if God blinded men to the thing that would have disqualified her. Because the Bible tells us that Mordecai had to tell her, don't tell them that you are from this family or this nation or nationality or your father's house. Why? Maybe, we don't know. But maybe if she had told them, she would never have even gotten into the king's chambers. So, the man that would have made the decision was blinded from the things that would have disqualified her. Everything that may disqualify you from being promoted, anything that may work against you, I pray in the name of Jesus that God Almighty will blind man to it in the name of Jesus. That they shall not see that will disqualify you. It is the things that will qualify you that will become visible to them in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you understand what I mean. You see, when God decides to promote a person, it does not matter where you are from, whether your family is rich or poor, whether you can construct English or not, whether you can walk properly or not, whether you know how to dress or not, it doesn't matter. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about a certain gentleman. I'm sure you would have heard of him. His name is called Pastor E.A. Adeboye. He's the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. Now, this gentleman, you need to understand his background. I mean, you've heard of him, but you may not know his background. Now, this gentleman, he comes from a village in a little part in Nigeria called Ifewara. Now, I'm not sure it's even on the map. We probably only got to hear of that village because of him now. I don't know if it's on the map. Now, this gentleman came from a poor background, very poor. He always says this. He says that they were so poor that the poor called them poor. Now, let me put into perspective. This gentleman never owned a pair of shoes, talk less of wearing one, until he was 17 years of age. 17. He never owned a pair of shoes, talk less of wearing one, until he was 17 years old. So for the first 17 years of his life, he was walking around barefooted. So to make you understand his past and his background. Now, when you think of that kind of background, automatically, if we were to look in the natural, we would think that somebody like that is not qualified to occupy the position of being the general overseer of a denomination that has thousands of branches all over the world. This man that we are talking about that comes from a humble background, he gathers and speaks to thousands of people every month from that background. And what am I talking about? When God decides to promote you, your past is irrelevant. Oh, get this. Let me explain. This man that I'm talking about, the general overseer, last year he was recognized by Newsweek as the 49th most influential person in the world. I'm talking about Newsweek, not some mushroom newspaper. Newsweek, not MK News. I'm talking about Newsweek, not MK Citizen. Recognized as the 49th most influential, this man from a humble background. This man that I'm talking about, the general overseer, he is the pastor to presidents, to billionaires, to politicians, to decisions. They come and see him. They flock to see him. This man from this humble background. This man from this humble background. Oh my goodness, let me go on. But the point I'm trying to make is that when God decides to promote a man, your background is no longer relevant. Oh my goodness, there's somebody here that in the past you've been thinking that your background is holding you back. I declare over your life right now that in the name of Jesus, no longer shall it be relevant to your promotion in Jesus' name. I prophesy over your life right now in the name of Jesus that everything in your past that is currently working against you will begin to work in your favor in the name of Jesus. I declare that your past no longer will slow you down. Your family will no longer slow you down. Your accent or lack of it will no longer slow you down. I declare over your life right now, my goodness, that the nationality that you come from will no longer be a deterrent to your promotion in the name of Jesus. You see, sometimes, you know, we think of that accents is an obstacle to our progress. You know, I always make a joke with my wife, Pastor Tumiche. I always say that anointing knows no grammar. Anointing knows no grammar. You see, when God elevates a man, people will flock from far and wide to hear them speak. When God elevates a man, God will set them high and expose them in such a way that they will be heard about all over the nation. I remember there was a day we were watching God Channel, and there was this gentleman preaching. And you know, as he was talking, he could not construct his English very well. But come and see the crowd that was gathered. Hey, they were not listening to the grammar. They were listening to the power behind the words being spoken. Oh, shandelebo. I declare over your life, whether you know how to combine the words or not, whether you know how to construct the words or not, whether you know how to dress or not, whether you walk with a K-leg or bow-leg, whatever the case may be, in the name of Jesus, no longer shall it be relevant in your promotion in Jesus' name. There was a time that some years back, a friend of mine started a business, and he felt that, you know, his accent was an obstacle or slowdown to the growth of his business. So himself and his wife decided that they would go for phonetic lessons. So they went for quite a number of phonetic lessons. And this is a man that grew up in Nigeria, you know, speaks like me, if you understand what I mean. No matter how I try to speak phonetics, it doesn't work. So I've just given the task to my son. He will speak the one that I didn't speak. Anyway, so they decided to go for phonetic lessons. And, you know, they spent quite a lot of money on this one-on-one coaching on how to pronounce the word and roll their tongue. Anyway, after they did all that and they continued with their business, there was no change in the status of the business or his life. Now, get this. What I'm trying to say, it is not in how you speak. The general overseer that I'm speaking about, he talks to thousands of people all over the world, America, everywhere. They gather to listen to him. He speaks like an African man. But they gather from far and wide. Benny Hinn, when he speaks, sometimes you find it difficult to understand. But what happens? People flock. When God decides to promote you, What they were looking at before as a deficiency in your life, how can they be? What they were looking at as a shortcoming or a weakness in your life, marakalabaze. What they used to disqualify you, darebo. I declare this day that that will be your uniqueness that they will use to identify you in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible talks about Esther in the book of Esther chapter 2. Are you getting something this morning? Esther chapter 2 verse 12. The Bible says something. It says that each young woman's turn, you know, a lot of women were taken initially. And it says, each young woman's turn came to go into King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months preparation according to the regulations for the women. For thus were the days of their preparation apportioned. 6 months for the oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Thus prepared, each young woman went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, to the custom of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubines. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called for her by name. Verse 15 is where I'm going to. It says, now when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the woman, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. And if you permit me, I'll just jump to verse 16 or verse 17. It says, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. You know, the Bible says something. It says, when Esther's turn came, something happened. Let me put it to you. In Esther chapter 1, verse 3, can I have you up there? Esther chapter 1, verse 3. That was the year, in the third year of King Ahasuerus' reign. That's when the feast was held. In the third year of his reign, that's when the feast was held. Now, in the seventh year of his reign, that's when Esther was chosen as a queen. So that means for 4 years, different people had been going in. It was the turn of different people for 4 years. In, out, in, out. Let's even assume that the king and those kind of kings in those days, it's not one woman per month. But let us even assume one per month. That means before Esther's time, 47 women went before her. And it's very unlikely that it will be one per month. If at all, being conservative, maybe one per week. There was no Viagra then. So, sorry. Let's, holy. So there had been many women before Esther. Get this. Out of all those women, we don't know how many that went, the king did not choose any of them. For 4 years, there was no queen in the land. But when Esther's time came, oh my goodness, you know, it did not matter those that had gone before her. They were just running. The Bible talks about a certain when Absalom died, and you know they sent a messenger to report. Was it Absalom? And the Bible says that you know they sent a messenger, Cush, and Ahimaaz decided that he wanted to go, but he did not have the message, so he started running and outran. But the rightful one that had the message, when he got there, he was the one that delivered the message. So the other ladies were running fast, swiftly. But they had run, and they were going before, but it was not their own. Oh my goodness, I don't know if anybody got that. I don't know, let me explain. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11 says something. It says that the race is not to the swift. It says not the battle to the strong. It then goes on to say nor bread to the wise. It says nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. It says something, it says but time and chance happens to them all. When Esther's turn came, there was something called time and chance that was working for her. I'm not sure you understand this thing. When Esther's came, something changed. You know, when Esther's turn came, you know, the previous people that went before her, maybe at one stage, somebody, one of them, it would be the time that would work for her, not the chance. Another one, maybe the chance, but not time. But during Esther's time, when her turn came, the time and chance came together and connected so that by the time it connected, it was all favorably working for her so that when her time came, the king had no choice but to select her as the queen, my goodness. Listen to me. You see, once God decides to promote you, those that have gone before you will suddenly be behind you. Oh my goodness. Once God decides to promote you, those that seem to be stronger than you will suddenly become weaker. When God promotes you, those that are richer than you right now, suddenly you'll become richer than them and you'll be the one lending or giving them money, blessing them. Oh my God, I'm not sure you understand. My goodness. You see, when God promotes you, when God promotes you, those that have gone before you, no longer will it matter. I pray that your time and chance will happen this year in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus that God will set it up for you so that the time and chance, who determines time and chance? It is God. Oh my goodness. It is God that determines time and the chance. You know, they always say something. Being at the right place at the right time. So it is like time, the right time, and the right opportunity. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will be positioned to be in the right place at the right time this year in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that the time and chance shall begin to work in your favor this year, and it will begin to cause you to be elevated in the name of Jesus. Pray. You know, I was talking about tests for the last 2 weeks. And sometimes, you know, we delay ourselves because of the test God brings our way and we don't pass it. I pray that you will pass the test God brings your way so that there will no longer be a delay in the name of Jesus. You know, something also happened to Esther when her time and chance came. Because when the time and chance came, There was something that happened to her. You will notice that the Bible says in Esther 15 that when her turn came to go in, she requested nothing but what Hegai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the woman, advised. And prior to that, it says that the woman would ask for anything they wanted. But she did not ask for anything she wanted. She asked for what she was instructed or advised to take. And you find out that one of the things about Esther's life is at every point in her life, God positioned advisors around her. At strategic key points of her life, there was somebody to advise her on what to do. Because sometimes time and chance can come. But if you don't have the right counsel, it's easy to miss it. And so, for example, prior to that, when they brought the virgins, And Mordecai, her cousin, said that she should not tell them, reveal to them her identity. And she took that advice. And then, when it came to the time to go into the queen, to the king rather, there was a Haggai that advised her. Later on, we'll see Mordecai also advising her again at some point, at a key point in her life. Listen to me. God positioned advisors, counselors, with the right counsel. And anytime God positions people like that around you, it is because he wants to promote you. And you see, something about her is that she not only listened to the advice. You know, there's a difference between listening and obeying. So she not only listened to the advice, but she obeyed the advice, took the counsel, and acted upon the counsel that was given to her. Oh, only God knows if she had decided that, no, I don't want to take what you advised me to take, but I want those things that I want, whether she would have become the queen. Only God knows whether it was a case of her maybe humility or plainness or whatever that caused the king to be endeared towards her. I spoke about when I was talking about the different tests, I spoke about the obedience test. And you find out that she passed the obedience test, and that made her due for promotion. Am I making sense? So when she passed the obedience test, that made her due for promotion. You know, God has positioned advisors around many of us. But we don't always take the advice offered. Or we don't even recognize them sometimes as advisors. Esther may not have become the queen, if she had not taken the advice of Mordecai, first of all. Because if she had revealed that she is of Jewish descent, there's a possibility that they would not have taken her into the king's kingdom. If you read the book of Esther, time will not permit me to show you everything. If you read the book of Esther, you'll find out that by the time the king found out that she's of Jewish descent, she was already on the throne. Right. It was too late. Also, if she had not taken the advice, only God knows, of Haggai, possibly she may not have been, or the king may not have been pleased with her. What am I talking about here? There are certain counselors, there are certain advisors that when you are about to be promoted, that God will bring around you. And you need to begin to recognize them. You need to begin to listen to their advice, godly advice. I pray in the name of Jesus that your eyes will begin to see those counselors that God has given to you in Jesus' name. I pray that you recognize them. You know, the Bible says something in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 20. It says that, and though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, it goes on to say, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. And then it says, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Hey, come, da, 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 da. It says, your eyes shall see your teachers. Your eyes shall begin to see your teachers in Jesus' name. Where you have been blind to those that God, you know, the Bible talks about Hagar. It says Hagar had drawn out of water and she laid Ishmael down. And she thought they're about to die. But what happened? Ishmael started crying and God heard the voice of the son. And then the Bible says that God opened the eyes of Hagar and she saw a well, what had been there all the while. But God opened her eyes to see what had been there all the while. And her life was preserved and sustained. But it was there all the while. Hey, there are some counselors that are beside you, around you all the while. I pray in the name of Jesus that just the way God opened the eyes of Hagar, that in the mighty name of Jesus, that your eyes will become open in Jesus' name. The Bible says that your eyes shall see your teachers. Lift up your hand and say, my eyes shall see my teachers in Jesus' name. Say it one more time, my eyes shall see my teachers. I declare over your life that your counselors that God has sent, godly counselors, they will no longer be far away from you in Jesus' name. You know, I just can't, time will not permit me to talk more about the impacts, the effect of the counselors, the advice that was given to Esther and how it caused her elevation. But let's move on because of time. One of the things that I also found out about Esther in this whole thing that worked for her is that she had favor. On a couple of occasions, you know, the Bible says that she had favor. So in Esther chapter 2, verse 9, when she was initially brought to the citadel with the other beautiful woman, the Bible says in verse 9, it says, now the young woman pleased him, that's the eunuch that was looking after them, and she obtained his favor, so he readily gave beauty preparations to her besides her allowance. And then he says, they provided 7 choice maidservants. The kind of preparation they gave her was different from all the others. 7 is the number of completion. So they wanted that she had complete preparation. 7 choice. When he talks about choice, it means they were specially selected just to prepare her because she had favor. Get this? In verse 15 of the same chapter, he says something, the latter part. He says, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. He says, all the people that saw her, she obtained favor in their sight. And then if you look at verse 17, it says something. It says, the king loved Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Do you notice favor again? If you look at Esther chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says that when she approached the king, she had favor in his sight, and he held out his scepter. Favor one more time. Amen? Amen? My goodness, you need to get something. You need to get this. In fact, in the whole book, the book of Esther, you find out that the word favor came up quite a number of times. It was a central theme. And get this. It says she had favor in the sight of all. She had favor with Hegai, the eunuch. She had favor with the king. She had favor with this, she had favor with that. When you have favor with man, you don't have to labor. But get this, before you can get favor with man, you need to have favor with God. Because it is only when you have favor with God that you can have favor with man. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, it says that when a man's ways please the Lord, it says something, it says that he makes even, the Bible had to say even, his enemies to be at peace with him. So that when you're, let me explain. When you talk about enemies, what does enemy mean? Those that do not want your good. Enemies, when he talks about enemies means those that are fighting against you. Of fighting you. Now, when he says that when you have favor, when a man's ways please the Lord, that his enemies are at peace, that means those that are fighting against you and contending with you are no longer contending with you. So they will begin to work on your behalf. You see, when God is on your side, even your enemies will have no choice but to work in your favor. When your ways please God, my goodness, you'll find out that you'll have favor with everyone around you. In fact, you know, there's something called the fragrance of favor. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalm 5, verse 12, it says that favor will surround you like a shield. Will surround the righteous like a... When it talks about surrounding you, so it means that wherever you go, you have the fragrance, the aroma of favor following you where you are carrying it with you. I don't know if I'm making sense to you this morning. So what am I talking about here? In order for God to promote you, and for you to have favor with man, you need to have favor with God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you begin to have favor before God in the name of Jesus. I pray, Hashandaraba, that instead of judgment upon your life, God will have mercy in the name of Jesus. You know, Psalm 102, verse 13, it says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. It says, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. I pray God will arise and have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. When it says set time, it means appointed time. It means the turn. You know, it says that now when it was the turn of Esther, so that was her set time. And when the set time came, there was something called favor that was working on our behalf. God will arise and have mercy upon you in Jesus' name. I declare over your life that the time for you to be favored is here in the name of Jesus. That the favor of God will be upon you. I pray God's countenance, that God will be pleased with your actions. I pray God will be pleased with your words. I pray God will be pleased with the things that you do in the name of Jesus. That as you do right and walk in righteousness, that the favor of God will surround you like a shield wherever you go, opening doors for you, elevating you in the name of Jesus. Lastly, let me just close here. When God promotes you, it's for a reason. You know, God will not just promote you because he wants to promote you. So let me use an example. If God promotes someone spiritually, it's for a reason, either because he wants the person to become his prophet, or he wants the person to become his intercessor, intercede on behalf of, or something. It's for a reason. When God promotes somebody financially, it's for a reason. Because he wants you to finance his kingdom. Or he wants you to do certain projects for him. It's not so that you build your six-bedroom house and then sit on top of all the remaining money. It's for a reason. For every promotion that is from God, there's a kingdom purpose behind it. Every promotion. Look through the Bible. Every promotion from God, there's a kingdom purpose behind it. Esther was promoted to the position of queen in order to preserve the Jewish race. Joseph was promoted to the position of prime minister in order to preserve his family and also the land of Egypt. Daniel was promoted in order to show forth God's glory. Every time there's a promotion, a divine promotion, I'm talking about when God promotes a person now. Every time, there's a reason behind it. But the challenge is when people get promoted and they don't discover the reason or understand the reason, or when the time comes, and even if they understand it, but they don't do what they're meant to do, what happens is they become irrelevant. I pray you will not become irrelevant in Jesus' name. Get this. When Esther was made queen, initially she did not know why. You know, when she was made queen, she did not understand the purpose. What do I mean by that? Because in the book of Esther chapter 4, from verse 10, the Bible says that they told Esther about the plot to kill the Jews. And her response, she was thinking more of her safety and her comfort. What was her response? She said that, well, everybody knows that whoever approaches the king without being called or invited, that there's only one law that person will be killed. So she did not understand. She was thinking of her safety first of all. And did not realize that, hey, the reason why she was placed on that position is that God in his infinite wisdom knew that there would be a plot against the Jews. Because if Vashti had been on the throne, the Jews would have been killed and eradicated. And there's no way you can eradicate God's chosen people. So he had planned it all. And then it took a Mordecai. That's what I'm talking. That's why it's important to have counselors. To have people that can speak into your life. To have people you listen to. It took a Mordecai to come to her and say, hey, Esther, listen to me. You think that you are just queen for the sake of being queen. He said that if you decide to remain silent, that God will raise somebody up. Deliverance will come from another place, another quarter. And he then went on, he says, and don't think that you and your family will be spared. And then he made her understand that who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this. Shandarebo. He made her understand that, look, you need to get this, that the reason why you have been placed in this place is because there was something that was being planned, and for such a time like this, God put you in that position to do something for his kingdom, for his people. Amen? What am I talking about here? She was about to become irrelevant, but Mordecai came once again, gave her counsel. But then, you then find out in Esther chapter 4, verse 15. It says, then Mordecai told them to reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Notice this. She was ready to break the law in order to fulfill her purpose. She was ready to break the law and get killed if need be in order to do what God had promoted her for. She was willing to risk her life for the people that God wanted to save. I'm talking about divine promotion. You need to understand something, that when God promotes you, he may decide or demand your life. Now, it may not be physical, but he may demand your life in order to fulfill his purpose. But listen to me. Too many Christians that are in places of influence are silent. Too many Christians have become quiet and meek when they should stand up or speak out. And do you know what would have happened to Esther? If she had not spoken out, if she had not acted, we may not have been reading, we probably wouldn't be reading about her, number one. Number two, she probably would have become irrelevant in the scheme of things. I pray in the name of Jesus that when the time comes for you to speak out, that a kind of boldness will come upon your life. In the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about Peter and John in the book of Acts chapter 4. It says that Peter and John, when they were arrested and they were flogged, and they said something, they said, don't preach the name of Christ. And they went back, they said, oh, well, would we rather listen to men but to God? And the Bible says they went and prayed for boldness. In the mighty name of Jesus, a spirit of boldness will come upon you in the name of Jesus. So that when it's time to stand up, you will stand up in the mighty name of Jesus. Lastly, just to close, there was a certain man called Haman that wanted to kill the Jews. And what happened? Haman decided that he would build a gallows to kill Mordecai. But you know, the same gallows that he built is what was used to kill him. Every trap of the enemy that has been set before you, whether it's a trap of seduction, Whatever snare that has been set before you, I declare over your life that the person that set the trap will be entrapped by that trap in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that there is no trap of the enemy that you shall fall into in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Numbers 23:23, it says there is no divination or sorcery against Jacob or Israel. This day I declare over your life that no sorcery, no divination shall work in your life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that there is no curse without a curse. It says a curse without a curse will not alight. This day every curse that has been spoken or enchantment spoken concerning your life, this day I declare that it shall not alight in the name of Jesus. The Bible talks about a certain gentleman called Balaam that was called to come and curse the people that God had blessed. When he spoke, he could not curse, he could only bless. Everywhere that your name is being spoken concerning a curse, this day I declare that it shall be turned into a blessing in the name of Jesus. I declare that every coven, any coven where your name is being mentioned, anywhere where your name is being chanted or enchantments made against your name, this day in the mighty name of Jesus, I begin to turn it into blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says that when Haman was hanged, all his property was given to Mordecai. When Haman was hanged, the Bible says that the signet ring that the king gave to Haman was handed over to Mordecai, the person he planned to kill. This day I declare that everything the enemy has stolen from you, you will pursue and you will recover all in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that you shall possess your possessions. Every territory that has been earmarked for you, every land that you own, in the mighty name of Jesus, you shall possess it in the name of Jesus. The loot, the treasures of the enemy shall be handed over to you in the name of Jesus. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that God shall give you the secret to the treasures of in hidden places in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Even right now, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I have spoken as you have commanded me. Lord, even right now, I pray that every word that has been spoken today, O God, that it shall go forth and accomplish that for which you were sent. I pray that every word of prophecy that has been spoken in this place, Lord, that there shall be a manifestation of it. As even as we walk in righteousness and in your fullness, O God, Lord, as we walk in obedience, that, Lord, there shall be a manifestation of the prophecy spoken in this place in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare this day that, Lord, there shall be an acceleration in the life of your people, in the life of the members of King's Court Chapel. I speak spiritual acceleration right now into your life. I declare that you shall overtake. You shall pursue, you shall overtake in the name of Jesus. You shall outrun those that have gone before you in the mighty name of Jesus. You shall go higher than those that have jumped higher than you.